Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler's on them ones and twos. And that damn Sean Pendergast is on the line, baby. He is boots on the ground in West Virginia at the Greenbrier. Practice report live from West Virginia from the Greenbrier, courtesy of Flight by Yingling. Damn it, I just watched a video of Sean Pendergast giving his little breakdown on social media, and I'm here to tell y'all that the sound of that pop, that top popping, had me thirsty, Sean. Had me thirsty. Yeah. I'm telling you, look, Sean Pendergast, by the way, if you ain't following him on Twitter, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. Sean T. Pendergast with a T at the end, y'all. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Instagram. Make sure you stay plugged in now because the reports are coming. I give you one about once every three practice. Sean's gives you one at the same time every day after every damn practice. Sean, how you doing, baby?
I'm great. How you guys doing? I'm doing. This is awesome, man. It's we're having a good time up here in West Virginia, and it's been really, really cool putting eyes on these two practices. So, yeah, we're doing great, man. We're doing great. How you guys doing?
Man, we're rocking and rolling. Luke's in with me today. Ron's got a travel day. Ron's kind of like them Astros, you know, instead of them get, you know, the get out of town early games, hell, he just takes a travel day off when he needs to travel. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he doesn't have a medical degree.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, too.
Zing!
Yes. Yes.
I can't throw any shade at that. I'm off on Friday because I'm traveling back from here. I couldn't get a flight that worked out, hey. So I understand.
Hey, you could man, get look, a Yingling flight, though.
Yes, you can. He got about.
I have one.
He got about 402 of them in his Airbnb he's got over there. Sean, let's jump on this thing, man. We just got through talking about. Maybe this is a hot take. I don't feel like it is, but like I'm more concerned with the Texans' ability or inability to run the football than I am. With their ability to pass protect against Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson. You know what I mean? I know that's a topic and I know the protection has to be fixed, but I'm more interested in can they run the football downhill? Are they physical up front? Can they establish the line of scrimmage? Those kind of things, I think, to me, are more important to the actual ability to win ball games when it matters the most. Today was a physical short yardage day, according to D'Amico Rhines. What did that look like in person?
Yeah, I would say, Clint, if that's your concern, then today was a good day because they ran the football pretty well today. Nick Chubb had, I think, by far his best day running the football as a Houston Texan, highlighted by a run, kind of a run to the right, blocked up really well, but he found some open green, and he ran, I don't think he would have run for a touchdown, but it was definitely, you know, I would say like a 25 to 30 yard run that he had. Now, the very next play, C.J. Stroud threw an interception to Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter, and we'll talk about him, he might have been the best player on the field today. But I thought they ran the ball pretty well today. It's been tough sledding at camp, no doubt about that. And I agree with you. I would really like to see C.J. Stroud and the ones get some reps with Daniil Hunter and Will Henderson off of the field just to see, you know, just to kind of get a gauge for, you know, really kind of where they're at with some of the things. This is the first camp that I can remember, and I haven't kept track of this stuff with D'Amico necessarily the last couple of years, but I remember several Bill O'Brien camps that it wasn't always ones against ones, twos against twos, and threes against threes. There was a lot of mixing and matching going on, not only within the units, but as to who they went against. It's been strictly CJ. Like, I don't know if CJ's taken a snap on the field yet where either Daniil Hunter or Will Anderson or both have not been out there. I think they've at least one, and if not both of them, have been out there for every snap. So I'm kind of with you on that, only because we know that Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter are vastly superior to the guys they're going against. They're going to wreck shop against this offense. And we also know, too, that this is what Nick Haley wants to do, is he wants to run the football. He wants to establish that. He wants to establish a powerful ground game. So I'm with you on that, but I will tell you just from having eyes on it today was a good day. Not just Nick Chubb, Woody Marks looks like there's something there with him as well.
Yeah, Sean, to be clear, that is just the part that I am more interested in, right? I mean, I'm less about, boy, I'm really concerned about this pass protection, and more of like, hey, the part we can't see that they can see every day in video is whether they're creating creases, whether they're getting pushed in their double teams, whether their offensive line really likes to hit people in the mouth and muddy this thing up. Do they really like that? So, man, it's good to hear. If you told me, hey, man, we're going to be elite pass protectors or we're going to be punchy in the mouth, get up, like it, make you like it, do it again, yeah. Give me the punchy in the mouth type. I think C.J. Stroud can handle the rest by himself. Go ahead, Luke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, all good. Staying on that topic, look, a lot of people had pointed to, hey, they had a good running game today, and it was with Ed Ingram in there, who's a pretty good, you know, run-blocking guard, and Cam Robinson on the sideline, which might be unfair to Cam, but just take us in terms of, like, the offensive line, in terms of what you saw from them specifically with the good ground game today, but also, you know, the different versions. How do they shake things up on that offensive line today?
It's interesting. To me, the most interesting thing about the shuffle on the offensive line was Titus Howard getting bumped back out to right tackle yesterday, because I don't think any of us expected that. He's been right guard the whole time. All the talk around training camp has been about how selfless Titus has been to move, you know, to bump inside when he's really a tackle. He's steeped in being a tackle. That's what he was raised in here in the NFL. We know he's played some guard, but he's really largely been a tackle. So when there was a shuffling they needed to do yesterday of moving Ariante Ursery over to the left tackle, and I think he's, you know, for where he is, a second-round rookie who's in practice number 12 or 11 or whatever it was today at training camp, he's had some nice moments. I think Titus had a good practice today. They might have stumbled back on to Titus Howard at right tackle. The interior is still a concern. I don't think they've settled on a center yet. Jake Andrews, I think, is pretty good at getting a push in the run game, but he's been getting beat inside. You know, Tim Settle was able to beat him today for a sack or get in there and get some pressure. The interior, I think, is still a work in progress. You know, Lakin Tomlinson had been the number one guard for most of camp, but they started mixing and matching that spot too. So I think the interior is still a concern. I think the whole thing is a concern. I'm not going to sit here and say Ariante Ursery is, you know, ready to go for week one or anything like that. It's better than it was this time last year in camp, though. I will say that. Like, it just in terms of the overall culture of the line and how things are getting blocked. And I think they did a better job of keeping the quarterbacks clean today as well.
Sean, you mentioned Kamari Lassiter, and I know. Look, I mean, I heard you say it on your social report, your Texans report from up there on your social medias. Kamari Lassiter is in your mind been the best on the defensive side of the football. Boy, that is a mouthful given what we watched from Kalen Bullock them first about five or six, maybe even seven practices. Man, just tell us a little bit about Kamari Lassiter and what you're seeing today.
For sure. Yeah, no, to be clear, best player on the defense not named Will. Best one today, period. Best one in camp not named Will Anderson.
Get it right.
Will Anderson.
Get it right, Dirty.
Yeah. I don't need Will Anderson. I don't know if Will Anderson's capable of getting angry at anybody that doesn't wear a football uniform. You know what I mean? Like, if you're wearing a football uniform, he hates you. If you're not wearing a football uniform, he's the most loving guy ever. But I just want to be clear about that. But Kamari Lassiter today, so I mentioned that interception he had the play after the big Nick Chubb run. He was step for step with Nico Collins. I say step for step. He actually beat Nico Collins to the point of, you know, to the catch point on that pass. It was a deep pass. It was about a 40-yard pass downfield. But it looked like it was intended for Kamari Lassiter almost, because it was overthrown over Nico, and Kamari kind of caught up to it and made a great hands catch on the thing. You know, he looked like a wide receiver on the play. So that was the first one. The second one was a pass, like a short pass over the middle to Xavier Hutchinson, where Kamari Lassiter just out-physicaled him, made a deflection on the ball, and the ball popped up in the air, and then Kamari came down with it. Would have been a pick six if it was in an actual game. And then there was a third one against Nico, where, again, he's stride for stride with Nico Collins. And Nico's not a burner, but we've seen him get downfield many, many times on deep balls. And Kamari, whose knock on him coming out of Georgia was, well, at straight line speed, you know, look at his 40 time, blah, blah, blah. He's in everybody's hip pocket at these practices, guys. I mean, he is on point, Kamari Lassiter is. So he's just, man, he brings so much energy when he does this stuff, too. Like, he's just, this defense has several heartbeats to it. He's absolutely one of them. He was great today.
Sean, I talked to you yesterday, and in the loop, I asked about the vibe out there with the defense dominating the offense. I know you talked about it this morning, but then you know you went out to practice. We got a couple fights today, so was it any different today? You know, it seemed like some literal fight back from the offense today, and being tired and maybe getting walked over. What was just the vibes like today between those two sides at practice?
Definitely more even, Luke. Definitely more even. And I think if I had to guess, well, look, we know that the temper's flaring has nothing to do with the heat here. It was like 68 degrees out there today. So whereas in Houston, anytime someone gets in a fight, everybody's like, well, the guys are hot. It's a sauna out here. It's the weather is the climate is perfect here. I think they're probably just getting tired of going against each other. I mean, Clint can probably speak to that just as a former player. Like, you're in camp and you're going against the same guys every day, and especially at positions like these where there's physicality involved. And again, it's been ones versus ones, twos versus twos, threes versus threes. So other than the little shuffling and mixing and matching going on, in team drills, you're going against not just the same team, the same jersey every day, it's the same guys every day. So the two dust-ups we saw today, Cade Stover and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And it was funny because C.J. Gardner-Johnson kind of wrapped up Cade Stover on a pass and then takes him to the ground, kind of lands on top of him. Stover didn't like that, understandably so. You're not supposed to tackle people in practice. And they kind of got in each other's face. It got separated pretty quickly. I wouldn't classify it as a fight. So I turned to Mark Vandermeer, and I said to Mark, well, big farm boy from Ohio versus habitual line stepper C.J. Gardner-Johnson. If that doesn't turn into a fight, then we're just not getting a fight out here at training camp this year. Literally two plays later, Dalton Schultz goes down to catch a low ball to the ground, and in flies Russ Yeast like a missile at Dalton Schultz's head. And up pops Dalton Schultz, up pops Yeast. Schultz whips the ball at Yeast's legs. Yeast clearly says something to him because watching from a distance, we couldn't hear what they were saying. But there was a long pause where clearly something was said, and Schultz just starts running at him like the Incredible Hulk. You know, the gamma radiation altered his body chemistry, and he just starts running like a maniac at Russ Yeast, grabs him, goes to the ground, and they're scraping. They're throwing. They're swinging on each other. So that was good. We were high-fiving. We're like, yeah, we got a fight. Sean was totally wrong about his prediction. But yes, we got a fight two plays later. So it was cool. I think, Luke, to answer your original question, I just think they're getting tired of going against the same guys every day. We need this Minnesota game to get here on Saturday.